The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Darren Owen, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. We have three jumpers on Thursday afternoon, Fakenham, Musselburgh and Toaster providing the action. And then we have all weather action on the Tappeter surface at Wolverhampton in the evening. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good man. Bit to look back at before we look ahead to Thursday. And we'll start with the Melbourne Cup, Mick, because Protectionist ran out a tidy winner in the end. Another great performance on the international stage for Ryan Moore. Red Cadeau, good old Red Cadeau, finishing second yet again.
Third time, isn't it?
Yeah, always the bridesmaid. And, what did you make of the race, Mick?
Yeah, I saw replays. I didn't see it live, but it didn't look to be too many hard luck stories, and he was a very ready winner, wasn't he? Four lengths clear at the line of the mighty Red Cadeau. Took his career earnings to $4.5 million, more than See the Stars.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's impressive for a horse that's not winning.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Nice. So, it was a good race, wasn't it? And it just shows you, Moore had a miserable Breeders' Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He puts all that behind him and just moves on. Another day at the office.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's got to be up there with the very best in the world, hasn't he, at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. And I think quite appropriate that we're speaking about him on Leicester's birthday.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Good stuff. Away from the flat game, Mick, because so that's pretty much the flat season done, apart from the November handicap meeting. Let's talk about some of the jumpers. We saw the Halden Gold Cup take place at Exeter on Tuesday, and it was the return of Cue Card, but it wasn't a winning one.
It wasn't a winning one, but I don't think they'll be overly disappointed. I think he ran well enough. They'll be very pleased with that. They won't have really asked him too many questions at home. I think the way the race panned out, he ran as well as could have been expected, I think. And as long as he came home in one piece, Darrell Jacobs seemed very, very pleased with him in particular. And with that under his belt, the sky's the limit for this season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a perfectly satisfactory return from injury and a long absence, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the winner was chucked in, really, wasn't he? If he took his punches down, win literally in a stable.
Flying.
They aren't they? Just unbelievable.
Starting to pick up, aren't
they? Yeah.
What do you make of God's Own and Boulder Succès, Mick? Because I didn't think the novices were particularly standout last year, but they finished 1-2 in that race.
Exactly.
And God's Own looks as if he's on the upgrade.
Well, I'm not sure. Because, you see, I'm a big fan of Takunda Stoll, who's a second-season novice.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to take high rank amongst the leading chasers this year. So they could well turn out to be a better bunch than maybe we anticipated. Because there's no flashy, sexy horses among them. And that's no bad thing. Mm. I hate it when these horses get hyped up before they've actually flipping got the T-shirt, don't you?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Does it change your Gold Cup picture in any way, Mick? Cue Card's still the 8-1 market leader. We've got Bobsworth, Holywell and Lord Windermere and Sylvaniaco Conti and Sir Deschamps on 10s.
It'll be a younger horse coming on, probably running in the Gold Cup for the first time. If it was mine, I'd be aiming the Toro Tank at it. Just get some experience into him this year. He looks like a horse who could rattle up a sequence of Gold Cups, and that'd be a great start to Barry Connell's new jockey in the saddle, Adrian Heskin, if he weren't there. I doubt they will. I don't think it's their modus, but I think they'll probably stick to the novice route. But it's a very exciting prospect. But it wouldn't be at all surprising if they got bold and thought, well, it's a winnable Gold Cup this year, let's have a crack at it. But we shall have to see. He'd only had one run over fences, so I'm maybe jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah.
Tarquin de Searle is, at this stage, my fancy for the Gold Cup, but the Tullock Tank's got far more class than Tarquin de Searle.
Yeah. I tried to convince some people in the office that Tack Ender Sale might turn into a Gold Cup horse this year, and I got shouted down a little bit, but I haven't seen too much to put me off yet.
That was his first time at 3 miles, isn't
he? He stayed on to the line, didn't he?
Only dropped out to fourth mark, and yet he rallied to finish second, which is going to stand him in good stead up the hill at Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah, and the ground wasn't in his favour, really.
And stable out of form. One winner in 50 runners, I think, John Joe. I mean, considering how he ran and now Halliwell ran from stable not firing on all cylinders, I think they're both of them ran satisfactory first time up races.
Yeah, just mentioning Halliwell, the ground wasn't right for him either. He didn't have the cheek pieces on, the trip's too short for him, and he still ran with plenty of credit, didn't he, against two good performers at that.
Absolutely.
That trip and everything, so.
Yeah. I think there's plenty to look forward to at the top end, and it's great to see some new faces on the block, isn't it, rather than just, you know, the same old names there, you know, all the time. We've got a brand new wide open scenario, and it's great.
Yeah, it is. It's good stuff. We'll see how that develops as the season goes on. Anything else to talk about, Mick?
Just, I've got to say well done to Tim Easterby for landing that group two, the Criterium de Maze on La Feet yesterday with Matt Mooney, who really impressed me when I saw him win at York. And he's certainly took up a nice pot yesterday in Maze on La Feet. And very quick horse. Whether he'll go on and become I think he'll just be a top sprinter myself. I don't think we want to be looking at classics or anything like that, but it was still a heck of a performance, and well done to Connections there for spotting that opportunity for him.
Mm. Good stuff. Right, let's move on. We've got plenty more racing to come on Thursday. Good day of jumping to look forward to, and Mick's picked out three races for us at Musselburgh, so we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Thursday. As I say, Mick's picked out three races. And Musselburgh, the first of them is the 1 o'clock, and we start here with a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle, a class four event over 2 miles, and a field of 10 going to post for this, Mick. Which ones do you like in this?
Yeah, good to have jumping back at Musselburgh, isn't it? This is the first race of their new season. And A Million Times found his new mark for his Perth win beyond him last time at Kelso, finding Mason Highmarsh 10 lengths too good. Although, to be fair, he still ran well in defeat, suggesting that in the right company, 106 may not be beyond him. It's probably also a plus that he is going back right-handed, his previous win being at Perth. Beef Tainan Zeo, though, is closely matched with A Million Times on that Kelso running. And if you take into account that was his first start for 510 days, you would expect him to improve past that rival with that run under his belt. I mean, he's got, if you go back, he's only eight, but you've got to go back a while. But if you go back in his CV, he's got plenty of decent place form here and elsewhere in better company of much higher marks. And he's actually technically a pound lower than his last win. It's obviously been very difficult to keep right, having only had two starts since 2012, only one run in 2013 and one run in 2014. But I think it's significant, highly significant, that Connections have persevered. They found the right race for him here, and can get their reward here and next time also, Mark, because if he wins this, he doesn't get a penalty for next time. And I would imagine if they can go into an open race, not a conditional, because they'll have to go a penalty, but go into an open race without a penalty, and they should get the reward for their patience. And the other one to mention is Endeavour, an 11 times winner in his career, comes here in fairly good form, and he's one to consider for pro market place only punters. But Beef Tine and Zeo gets the vote.
Okay, on to the 2:30 next. That's the next that Mick's picked out, and this is a class four handicap hurdle over the extended 3 miles. 4-year-olds and older in the lineup here, and eight of them to go to post. And there's a couple of them you could state relatively strong cases for in here, Mick. So which ones do you like?
Quite a competitive little race, wasn't it, of its kind, with quite a few coming into it in good form, quite a few coming back from little breaks. Another Dimension won one of these last time on his return to hurdling after a spell chasing. He has gone up £7 for that. That is a slight concern. And being an infrequent winner, it's an act of faith to back him, to expect him to back up. Right to Rule is now back to £2, only £2 higher than for his last win. He's trained by Don McCain, Jason Maguire taking the ride. £2 higher than for his Kelso win in September. But he's hardly going forward, this horse, and he was beaten an awful long way into second in a modest race last time at Southwell. Allied to that, he's often very well backed due to his connections, so it's easy to have reservations about him at the likely price. The one I'm going to go for is One for Hockey, who comes from a stable in a good vein of form. He himself's been very consistent of late, to lowest level, of course, but he could have actually done without going up £5 for finishing second to Burnt Sienna at Kelso last time, but that was one of his best performances so far to date, suggesting he might be going slightly forward. Slight worry is that the money's poured on him the last four times, which means he might not be much of a price, but he's by far, for me, the most likely winner.
Okay, on to the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh then. The final race we're going to look at, this is a handicap hurdle of 2.5 miles, and an interesting race, Mick, because you've got some in-form runners in the shape of Factor 50 and Pass Muster and the like, but you've also got horses coming back out like some Nexus and Bogside. So how do you see this one going?
Yeah, well, Factor 50 is the horse in form from a stable just emerging from a quiet spell. Did go up £10, though, didn't he, for that win last time, taking his mark to 120. And the stable have reacted by replacing a £5 claimer who won on him last time, who rode him last time, with a £7 claimer, suggesting they think that £10 is probably high enough. Hmm. Nexius, chasing a long-term hat-trick for his informed stable, that of Keith Dalgleish, has to be respected despite 201-day absence. He is £8 higher than for that last win in April, but he had a good yardstick that day and looks like, I think, is a horse to keep on the right side of until it looks as if the handicapper has got him nailed. Bogside invariably goes well here at Musselburgh, and despite a lengthy absence, he has got form fresh, and it, maybe he can reward place support on the pro market, but I think Nexius is by far the most likely winner of this.
Yeah, interesting to see Nexius back on the track. Good stuff, Mick. Let's have a quick summary of your selections before you go.
Yeah, okay, the 1 o'clock, let's hope that the patience shown by the connections of Beef Time Ansia, that of Lucinda Russell and her owners, is rewarded in that 1 o'clock, the conditional jockeys. I like the look of One for Hockey from the informed stable of Nicky Richards with Brian Harding in the saddle in the 2:30, the handicap hurdle, and that's the 3 mile handicap hurdle. And then there's 2.5 mile handicap hurdle at 3 o'clock. Nexius chasing a long term hat trick for his informed stable of Keith Dalgleish looks the one to be on.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Okay, will do, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. with Darren Owen, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. We have Faken and Musselburgh and Toaster on Thursday afternoon, and evening action on the all-weather surface at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.